Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Walmart. Save money, live better. $50 minimum. Offer expires March 31st, 2020. Offer available in select areas.
Remember the first time you drove a manual car in traffic? Everything was fine until the dreaded hill. Could you do it? Could you let the clutch out just enough to avoid hitting the car behind you?
Come on.
In life, uncertainty can stall your momentum. But with First Horizon, a bank that has a deeper understanding of you, your path, and every challenge ahead, you'll be amazed at what you can do in the clutch. First Horizon, understanding runs deep. Visit firsthorizon.com/leap.
Data message rates apply. National contest. It's new money in the new year. Every hour from 8 a.m. through 5 p.m. at the top of the hour.
How do you pay, man? If you don't write checks, how do you pay these guys?
Straight cash, homie.
Win a G, $1,000 in straight cash, homie. Money, money in 2020.
More money, more money, more money.
And right now, get a G.
All right, 11 o'clock, code word is KING, K-I-N-G. You can text the word KING, K-I-N-G, to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Again, from 11 till 12, you can text the word KING, K-I-N-G, for your chance to win $1,000 to 72881. KING to 72881. Good luck. And don't forget, if you miss a word, go to the 92.9 FM ESPN radio.com app and use that rewind feature. The next word is coming up at 12 noon here on the Jason and John Show.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're happy.
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Presented live and locally by The Wing Guru. The Wing Guru.
Broadcasting live today from The Wing Guru at 5699 Mount Moriah Road on 92.9.
I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, no, because now I'm getting hot enough to we want to stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail to mention? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrate it, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn. Then I redecorated, that mean my table turned. Live life, might as well, only way to learn is try and fail. Clients are the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that, who that, that got that flame? Who that, that got that flame? Who that, that got that flame? So don't worry about, don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
All right. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome to your Thursday, January 16th. And, John, we got a big one tonight. Cincinnati in town to face a ranked Memphis team. It's the big one. It's the game, the primetime game on ESPN tonight. Anthony Hardaway and his Memphis Tigers.
Oh, Anthony. This is an Anthony game.
Anthony Penny Hardaway. You better believe it. Well, it's a show-up and show-out game if you're Memphis, right? Because at this point, these opportunities, we'll see you, Skip, these opportunities could be few and far between in terms of getting these top 50 wins. We are out here at the Wing Guru. You can hear my man, John Marks, 5699 Mount Moriah. He's here. We are here. Come join us. You can have a little lunch.
Yeah, these live shows always bring out the weirdness in Jason Smith for some reason. We're talking about a big game on a small table out here at the Wing Guru.
Well, 56. You're used to that kind of
99. Thing. I know. I feel right at home. I just need like a tiny cupboard so I can get my little cup of tea.
Yep.
You know, a little small miniature teacup.
But plenty of room for you guys. Come out and join us.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you guys know the deal. I mean, that the Wing Guru, the chicken is amazing. So come out, get some lunch, and hang out with us. Yeah, we got a big show planned for you today. Memphis, Cincinnati. Tonight, 6 o'clock on ESPN.
Nice
Jay Billis, Dan Shulman. Oh, God.
It's the big game with Billis in town.
I mean, I am just so sick of these home games, these home tips at 8 o'clock. I'm just getting too old for those, you know. So this is a nice removal.
Nice little 6 o'clock start for you. It'd feel a little bit bigger if Cincinnati were ranked and yet and still, like you said, because they're because look, they're just not a ton of great teams. Maybe not just in the America, John, across the country. You saw Wichita State go down.
That's right.
These opportunities, man, you got to get them. This is a Cincinnati team that's, you know, top 40, top 45 over at KenPom. So big opportunity for Memphis tonight.
Well, you know what's interesting, and real quick, let me set the line.
Let's do that here on
a Thursday. Shout out the Wing Guru at 11:25. We're going to be joined by Jeff Calkins. He's going to join us. We'll talk to him about the John Morant train. Maybe you guys heard Tracy McGrady said that John Morant's going to be an MVP and could very well one day be the best player in basketball.
Yeah, he should have stopped the MVP.
Oh, I don't think he should stop. I think he should just keep going. I don't think there's any. I don't think there's any benefit to just slowing down at this point.
These folks are drinking the jaw juice.
Yes, they are.
And we are too. But yes. Tracy is. He's gone. Gone.
Yes, he is. He's gone. He is gone off that yak. So we will talk to Jeff Calkins about all of that and more at 11:25. 12:25, Bobby Marks is going to join us. We'll see if he's drinking the jaw juice.
Well, he is, but not to that degree either. I don't think he's – I think that blood alcohol is still pretty solid on
him. So he can still drive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 1:25, we're going to be joined by Cheryl Swoops, rescheduled from yesterday.
Okay, okay.
So we are hoping to be joined by Cheryl Swoops.
You can thank her again for appearing after she actually does today.
Absolutely. It was a great appearance yesterday. I just felt so special to me. So we're going to try
She's getting honored Monday.
She is being honored on Monday. That's exactly right. So we'll talk to her about that and everything else at 1:25.
It's good to see you, man.
So that is – see, I told you this live show brings out the weirdness in Jason Smith. So she'll join us at 1:25. That's the show today. Memphis, Cincinnati tonight, 6 o'clock on ESPN. And this one is – you're exactly right. I mean, this is not your – this is not your granddaddy's Memphis, Cincinnati, right? Like, this is not this is not going to be a matchup of top 25 teams. But both teams need it for different reasons.
Might be to Penny, though. Do you realize that Penny – I've got my hand on your shoulder right now because I can.
I feel like
so close
there's
together.
A big point coming.
But there is. Do you realize that Penny is 1-8?
1-8.
As a player and coach against Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's. I'm sure he wants to reverse that.
So no matter what that record is, John Martin, you better believe it's absolutely huge to Penny Hardaway. And to the point that you made, the point that we've talked about, it's big for the team in the sense that there won't be many of these.
Right.
You just talked about it. Look, Wichita State right now, maybe you consider them the favorite in the AAC. Maybe you don't after they go and lose at Temple last night.
Yep.
And that's – you got Wichita State one more time. You know you're going to have Cincy twice. Houston team, John, that doesn't look like a world beater right now. What's after that? What's left? So my point is the Cincinnati team, that while it's struggled at points this season, it's 3-1 in the AAC. You've got to take advantage of these opportunities when they're here because there will be fewer this year in the AAC.
Yeah. For Cincinnati – This is an opportunity for them to get a what would be their biggest win of the season.
I don't think they have a top 50 either.
They don't, and so it's probably actually bigger for Cincinnati than it is for Memphis.
Well, especially if they want to prove that they've got things turned around, right?
Their
non-conference was terrible, and yet they've managed to start AAC play 3-1. So if they want to get things turned around and actually, sort of be the tournament team that I think, Cumberland and those guys had hopes for when they come back, and you plan on, you have a vet back. I think even in a first year for Brandon, I think that team had tournament hopes, and so they're trying to get back, to your point. So John's right; it's just as big, if not bigger, for Cincinnati.
Yeah, because Cincinnati, I mean,
they got nothing right now in terms of quality wins, no resume. You've got a loss to Colgate on the schedule. I mean, it doesn't get much worse than that.
Yeah, I mean, they're sitting here at 10-6. They're outside the top 60 in the net. So for Memphis, I mean, this would be considered a bad loss if they lose tonight.
Particularly
because
it's at home.
That's the hard part about this is that, look around the AAC, right? Look around, what happened last night. Wichita State loses to Temple. You know what I mean? I mean, Houston lost on the road at Tulsa. It is going to be like –
they didn't just lose. Wichita State got handled.
Yeah.
Like 65, lost by 12 at Temple.
Yeah.
And I brought up that game to you at that point. I mean, Temple, having a down year, but they got Quentin Rose. And that in this league is enough on some nights. But let's make the point. Wichita State, even if you want to consider them the favorite after they beat Memphis, a few days ago, they're not world beaters, and particularly on offense. Remember, Memphis outshot them in that game. And so, if you're going to put your – you can put your stake in the ground at this point and say, no, look, we think we're the best team in the AAC, got some things to clean up ourselves if you're Penny Hardaway and you're talking about those turnovers. But you do that by winning games like tonight.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for Memphis, you're trying to do actually, it could be a fortunate thing if you do it, but you're struggling right now offensively, and it's not a good thing, again, when you're struggling offensively and you're going to a game against Cincinnati. Because, John, it's not like Mick Cronin, rock fight, but it is still a rock fight when you play Cincinnati. They're still a top 50, top 40 defense.
Yeah, so obviously it's a big game just by the merit of it being Memphis-Cincinnati, right? Like, it is a rivalry game, and Penny is 1-8 against them, and it is on ESPN with Billis and Shulman. So it is certainly a high-profile basketball game for both teams tonight. And what's interesting, and I guess what's interesting sort of as the year goes on, and what I think is critical to just what this team can do and how far they go is what happens with the one they call Boogie, Rajon Boogie Ellis.
Sort of some news on him yesterday, as it seems.
Yeah.
Or at least kind of. At least he was talked about at the presser.
Yeah. I asked Penny yesterday how – Boogie Ellis took the news. How Boogie Ellis took the news. Because, listen, everybody in their mama knew Isaiah Maurice had to come out of the lineup, right? Like, he has the lowest offensive rating on – or, yeah, he has the lowest offensive rating on the team. Like, he just – he's not effective whatsoever for the University of Minnesota. I think everybody assumed and knew that Isaiah was coming out of the starting lineup. But I think what people didn't necessarily know is what would happen to Boogie Ellis. Mm-hmm. And Penny did take him out of the starting lineup, and he played a season low, 13 minutes against South Florida. He did have a really nice move to the rim that had everybody in the arena going ooh and ah, but he missed a layup. I mean, this is a young man whose confidence is just totally shot. Yeah. I mean, it's gone. It's completely gone. And I asked Penny how did Boogie take the news? And in so many words, you know, Penny said, "Listen, I'm trying to coach a basketball team, and I'm trying to win games." And I can't worry about how one guy feels about starting or not starting. And it was just a very like –
That surprised you?
Well, yeah, because it was just like a very like 1990s NBA, like something maybe you would expect to hear from like Brian Hill or Jeff Van Gundy. You know, it was like, I don't care how a guy feels about starting or not starting. You know, and this is a kid you got to remember. I mean, known as a – you know, he's a top 30, top 40 recruit coming out of high school. He was headed to Duke at one point. You know, he's known as one of the best scorers in the country. Won the Ball Is Life three-point contest last spring. Scored 51 to start his – I mean, this is a kid who all his life has been a really good player, probably has never come off the bench in his entire career. And, by the way, he happens to be, you know, 1,000 miles away from home.
Yeah.
And so all these things are you know, combining, I think – you know, this has been a nightmare freshman season for Boogie.
It's good he's got Alex Lomax beside him.
Yeah.
Because Alex Lomax has sort of been through this. When you're not the story anymore. Yep. And Boogie has not been the story three out of the last four games. John, he hadn't been a factor offensively at all three out of the last four. You realize he scored 12 points in the last four games. Two of those are scoreless, including the last one. You're talking about a guy's – you know, you're signed with Duke. You're a high-scoring guard. People are, you know, questioning whether you can be a point guard because you've done so much scoring in high school and on the grassroots level. And so you're used to being the guy.
Yep.
Let's just face it. And even understanding that you'll have to walk it back a little bit on a team that's got so much talent, you never envisioned anything like this to where three of the last four games, John, you're not even involved again. Tulane, he had zero. You know, he gets the 10 points against Georgia, but Wichita State, a close one there. He only scores the 2 points, only gets 15 minutes. 13 minutes, you mentioned, against South Florida, 0 points. He's not involved offensively right now. So I talked about this last week, John. You could sort of sense it. A guy that – look, this ain't Westbrook, right, sitting down on the end of the bench and the rest of the team is on one side. No, not a pulling away like that, but John, a sense of he's not involved in the offense and you could sort of sense him drifting. Again, remember, you made the point, he's a West Coast kid right now, and I was making the point last week that you want to re-engage Boogie. Now, I think Penny's comments yesterday to you and to the rest of the press were telling. He's at a point right now, he told you with his words, I can't worry. He's at a point right now where, just like we said, you got a big one against Cincinnati tonight. You've got very few opportunities against teams of this quality in your league. So you can't worry about feelings right now. That said, John, you are invested in Boogie. Because you tell me, is he having a one-and-done year?
No.
It looks to me like a guy who could be a second, maybe a three-year guy, maybe even longer than that for you. And look, this, John, the way you win a national championship, I'll put it this way, isn't sort of having to replace guys year after year. A guy's going to transfer? Absolutely they are.
Yep.
But you can't keep having situations where guys are here for 1 year, then they move out. So what you want to avoid, John, is a bunch of Antoine Joneses that are here for 1 year. You figure, you know what, I'm gonna pull out of that one, move on to the next guy, because then you're replacing too much of your roster. And you and I both know if you're going to win at the highest level, you've got to have some glue in there.
That can also hurt your APR.
Sticks. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, we've seen that.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. And he's just too good of a player that, John, there are some situations where you let a guy walk because you can go get one that's better.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? You and I both know Boogie is better than what he's shown here offensively in the last few games.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing. Like,
that's the crux of this thing. Well, you want to keep him involved and get him re-engaged.
He's not a lost cause.
No.
You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, his shot's not broken. His mechanics aren't bad. You know, like, there's something
he's still that
there.
High-level prospect that you recruited and really flipped from Duke.
I just think what has gone wrong for him, and I talked to his high school coach, and his high school coach said it's all mental, and I think that's absolutely right. I think this is a kid who's just trying to find his way mm-hmm. in the offense, and he can't yet. And he, for whatever reason, whether it's just the shot hasn't fallen for him. Because I will say, like, even Penny yesterday was asked, I didn't have this, but, you know, he was asked, can you relate to this? And Penny was like, eh. Like, even when I wasn't scoring, like, I was finding ways to impact the game. You know, and that was basically like a message, you know, directly to Boogie. Like, hey, if you want to play and you want to get minutes, you absolutely have to find ways to impact the game if your shot isn't falling. And that's where he's kind of struggled.
Yeah, he has. I like that he's got Alex Lomax to tell him, you know, when Alex is used to being a leader, comes here last year, finds out it's a different level of game, and I've got to find how I can still affect the game at this level.
Yep.
He finds it now, but you had him sort of go through the struggles, and particularly the struggle of not being the story. That said, John,
yep.
a little bit different of in terms of translating over, because for Boogie, it's not a physical difference. Boogie got one of the highest verticals on the team, John.
Yeah.
From a physical standpoint, remember, Alex was having trouble finishing at the rim last year.
Yes.
You understand what I'm going against athletes, taller guys, all that stuff. For Boogie, that's not the issue. You really just feel like if it's a couple shots that could drop, you could get this kid on a roll. And, again, it's not a problem of getting to the basket and trying to figure out how to finish through contact. There's a little bit of that. That was more of an Alex Lomax size issue. You know, you have some athletic issues there.
Yep.
Boogie doesn't have those issues. And so, for him, I feel like it's easier. He's a better scorer than Lomax.
Yep.
You feel like it'll be easier to get him back on if you're Penny Hardaway. If you could just, what feels like, just get him to see a couple of shots drop, you get him right back into the fold.
No doubt.
Again, you know, this is a West Coast kid that you want in the fold because, again, he's good that you want him involved in your program, not just this year, but at least a year or two to come, I would think.
Well, because, I mean, that's, you know, you need him.
Let's be real.
You need him. Not just for next year, but, like, this year.
Johnny's capable of being an 18- to 20-point scorer for you.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Particularly if it's run for him in years to come.
Yep.
Not this year. I'm not saying that. They don't need that from him right now. But we know he's got that kind of potential as a scorer.
Well, because everybody's like, well, what if he was just overrated to come out of high school? And look, there's no doubt he had a great, you know, summer, and that helped his rise. But, like, are you telling me that everybody missed, Duke missed, Oregon missed, Memphis missed? I don't buy that. This is a good player.
Remember what those NBA – remember what Gavoni and these guys were saying before the season?
He was going to – like, I believe the exact quote was, if Boogie does what we think he can do, he will be on our mock draft sooner than later.
This is literally just a matter of this kid having one or two good games and sort of getting that confidence back together. We've seen them sort of go the other way.
Right.
You want to keep him in the fold, though. And obviously a great opportunity tonight for a team. John, I don't know if you've been paying attention. This Memphis team has struggled offensively. It's not like they don't need Boogie to step up right now.
Exactly.
Like, you can afford to have a guy just sitting there and not a part of the offense with that kind of potential. This Memphis team, John's averaged 71 points, okay, over the last eight games. First eight, 84, right? Looked like a high scoring, high octane. Last eight, 71.4, and they've scored fewer than 75 times out of those eight games. Hell, they need Boogie Ellis offensively, John. You need him re-engaged, and you need him hitting shots and confident.
Well, one of the interesting things about this whole ordeal is, and I almost asked it, but I kind of knew the answer. But the reality of it is, and you know this, having covered college basketball as long as you have, even though you don't like to say that publicly or like to say this publicly, certain guys have to be coached differently. I mean, everybody can't be coached. You can't take the same philosophy and the same approach with every single kid. In a perfect world, of course, you would like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is there are just going to be guys who I think command and demand a little bit more attention, a little bit more. You know, I don't think Boogie is the kind of kid, based on people I've talked to and what I think I know about, I don't think he is the kind of kid who was going to take well to quote-unquote tough love. Like, I think this is a kid who is, you know, 2,000 miles away from home, probably is homesick a little bit, probably misses his family, you know, who's been around him everywhere he's played basketball, doesn't have that anymore. I think this is a young man who is, you know, going through some personal things and probably is not going to respond positively to the approach of, look, dude, this is a production business, and that's the bottom line. Like, I feel like there has to be a little bit more.
No,
I
know what you're saying.
What I mean? Even though I know people reject that and hate that.
But I know what you're saying because I know where Penny Hardaway is right now.
Exactly.
Like, it's time to stop talking. And
no
you know
doubt.
What I mean? Like, even himself with the sort of – I think he knows this too, the worrying about the drop. a couple of weeks ago when you're worried about falling 12 spots or whatever the heck it was when they did after the loss to Georgia. That's done. Like, it's put up or shut up time. So he knows it too. It's almost like it's time to stop talking and produce for all of us. And it's almost as if it's no, hey, nothing personal with Boogie. It's almost
exactly.
as if it's time for all of us to stop worrying about feelings. That said, though, John, you're absolutely right. Like, there's a method to this. Right? And Penny's learning that. Look, it's not the same case, but I will draw the parallel. Remember with Keevan Davenport last year, this is not the same thing at all because Penny obviously still got all the confidence in the world in the Boogie. We all think he's – but with Keevan Davenport, there was an interview Penny did obviously last year, talks about him, he's just not really that guy that's motivated by right. basketball, right? Breaks him down yeah. publicly in a sense. And Keevan wasn't – let's be real. He wasn't the same the rest of the season.
Right.
Keevan was – you could afford to do that if you're Penny Hardaway in that sense because for one reason, sure, you want to have a great year, but Keevan ain't coming back next year, and he's not your guy.
Yeah.
Right? So, and look, Penny wasn't looking to lay the kid out. He's just telling the truth. Much like yesterday, when Penny's telling the truth, look, it's time to stop being without feelings. We got to start getting some wins.
Yeah.
Right? But in doing that.
Penny was basically like he would rather watch SpongeBob SquarePants than right. watch film basketball.
But
like, that's what he said.
In doing that, you've got to think about the way you've got to think about, in this instance, this ain't like Keevan Davenport in that I do want Boogie back. Here's the other part. I need his scoring right now.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So again, this ain't to tell, you know, Penny knows what the hell he's doing, but it, in terms of how a kid can receive something,
yep.
If you've got a – John, if somebody's got a family member that's saying, you're not – hell, three out of the last four games, you've played less than 16 minutes, you're not even part of the offense right now, and oh, by the way, I just read the quote that Penny said that he ain't worried about feelings right now. That can start to
yeah.
get into young players'
you
ears.
See it all the time.
So don't tell me there's not a game to this. And look, Penny's learning that game as he goes to as a college basketball coach.
Right.
You're dealing with high profile kids that have prospects that have been told for years now they're the guy.
Absolutely.
Right? There is a method to this, and you just hope that Penny's got because John, I'm tough love can work, but you gotta it feels like with you're gonna mix in a little bit
yeah,
as well.
Exactly.
You know, you're gonna mix in some of that we need you just as much as well.
It's exactly right.
It's a key time. It's a crossroads for him. You'd like to see the kid break through.
Yeah, you know, and tonight would be a great time to start. You know,
you need it.
A Cincinnati team that is not historically good. I mean, they've struggled a little bit under their new coach John Brandon, but you know, still seem like they're a good enough team to come in here and knock you off.
Got a 7-footer in the middle. You talked about
yeah.
leading in scoring.
You know, that's not
Cumberland, a player of the year in the
yeah.
conference last year. Like, this ain't, you know, I know they've lost to Colgate, and you can sit here and say, oh, this one should be easy. But they haven't been easy of late for Memphis, no matter who you're
that's
playing.
Right.
And this is still a Cincinnati team that's capable.
Right. It's to the point, though, about, like, in college basketball, you don't have many options, right? Like, the only real motivator you have is the bench. You know, I mean, that's the only real one you have. I mean, you can't, you know, it's not a professional league and guys aren't out here getting paid and you don't have to worry about contracts and things like that. So it's just a little different. So your only real option is to say, hey, you know, you're going to the bench, you know, and you hope that
Well, it worked. Look, those kinds of shakeups worked for Penny last year.
Yeah.
So I don't blame him
yeah.
one bit for that. I actually like the move. He told you guys he's rolling with the same starting lineup from the South Florida game. I actually like the move to keep it the same. I think they're fine. Malcolm Danders, like I said, you want to sort of get him up to speed so by the end of the season, he's sort of that rebounding presence that you hope he can be.
Yep.
You know, in a 20 to 25 minute role rather than a sort of a 15 to 18 minute role. I like where they're at right now. You know, yes, maybe the best lineup when it's all said and done is DJ at the four. But look, Precious is better with another big beside him that's helping take some of that load off of him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all good with the starting lineup, and I think it takes some pressure off of Boogie Ellis to sort of, you know, you can kind of survey how things are going.
Yep.
Come on in, no pressure on you, and hopefully sort of break out of this funk because he's in one and they need him
yep.
To break out if they're going to reach their potential this season.
No question about it. We will talk to Jeff Calkins about this and more. Also, Tracy McGrady has crowned Ja Morant after – however many get 40 games or so. So we'll talk to Jeff Calkins about all of that and more when we come back. Jason and John, 93.9 FM, ESPN.
The teams, Tigers, Grizzlies, SEC, NFL, the stories, game day.
The thrill is here.
Penny, the shows, the Jeff Calkins Show.
You ain't got to do nothing.
Jason and John, Giannotto and Jeffrey.
You just made the list.
The Gary Parrish Show.
Be careful, be kind, be good, rep your hook.
The city,
Memphis, Tennessee.
The station, 92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis's number one sports place.
Hey.
Hey, this is John Martin. I'm back to tell you about my favorite spot in Memphis, the Blue Monkey. In case you've forgotten, and you shouldn't forget, they have great burgers, some of the best in Memphis, especially the barbecue bacon burger with black Angus meat topped with melted cheddar cheese, crisp bacon, and tangy barbecue sauce. And also, don't forget steak night every Tuesday at the downtown location and Thursday at the Midtown location. They offer a 7 or 10 ounce filet or 12 ounce and 16 ounce prime rib that is slow roasted and just plain awesome. On steak night, they also feature a choice of salad and a side. They got house-made ranch dressing and the twice-baked potato. I recommend both. They got two locations, 513 South Front Street downtown and 2012 Madison Avenue in Midtown. And find them on the web at BlueMonkeyMemphis.com.
Live team trivia and karaoke every Wednesday and Thursday. Bring a team and win some green. Plus live music at the Blue Monkey in Midtown on Friday night, the Michael Brothers on Saturday, Turnstiles.
Ah, there it is. That sound means fights at Fitz are back. Don't miss them Saturday, January 25th at the Fitz Casino and Hotel. Luck lives here.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to 4hims.com/joy. That's right, free. Zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hims.com/joy. That's 4hims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Social Security case, dial #529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Broadcasting live today from the Wing Guru at 5699 Mount Moriah Road on 92.9.
Jeff Calkins is a sports columnist over at the Daily Memphian. You can hear him every single morning on the Jeff Calkins Show from 9 to 11. He joins us now. Jeff Calkins, how you doing, man?
I'm good. You know, they called me from the Wing Guru recently to ask me to say something for the wall.
Oh, really? What did you say?
I'm sure it was pithy and magnificent. I'm not exactly sure what I said, but I support the cause, and I enjoy the food.
Was it like a... See, I imagine if you were going to start a column about the Wing Guru, it would start like this. Sizzle. The cook drops the chicken in the fryer.
Yeah, exactly right.
Is that right?
So
anyway,
it would be a hard luck. It would be a, you know, it'd be a human interest story about
yes,
the Wing Guru.
So I'm sure somebody back there is dealing with some kind of terminal illness and that they've overcome, and you will find it.
And the good news is I could make up quotes from Billy Richmond.
That's right.
Which I did once upon a time.
Which you did once upon a time, yeah. But we've that was in your early days. In fairness.
Yeah, to be clear, I didn't make them up and attribute to them. Like, whatever. It was a farcical column, a parody column, but people thought the quotes were real.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
Anyway, that's a long time ago. Now we have John Morant to think about. What's on your mind today, gentlemen?
Here's a real quote.
Lots.
Here's a real quote. This is not one that I'm making up, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
He's going to be an MVP in this league, and he's going to arguably be the best player in the game. That was Tracy McGrady on the jump talking about Ja Morant. I mean, the train is off the rails at this point, and there's no putting it back on.
It is really something. If you had to bet right now, would he ever be an MVP, and I ask this on my show, you'd have to bet no, right? I mean, the safer bet would be no.
Right, it's hard to be the MVP.
It's hard to be an MVP.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, most years LeBron isn't the MVP, even though he is the MVP most years, right? So it's really, really hard to be the MVP. So you'd say he's probably not going to be an MVP, and he's probably not going to be the best player in the league, but could he be one of the top five? And I'm not ruling it out, but it is funny. We've gone from, like, we have the country particularly, like we've been turned on to Ja here for a while now, the country is accelerating about Ja, much as Ja himself accelerates through the lane. Like it's been, it is like we are, it has gone from 0 to 90 in 2.2 seconds. It's been really amazing. You had Michael Wilbon calling him Jordan Ask. And then, yeah, Tracy McGrady with the topper going to be the best player in the league and the MVP. So, just try to live up to that, Ja. Is Ja's next game not going to be good? Like, what is Ja, how's he going to react to all of this?
I don't even, that kid is so even keeled.
I know.
Like, I mean,
and a killer.
Like,
a
even,
killer.
Even the way he talks is just like kind of monotone. Like, he's just an even keeled kid, you know? Like, I don't really worry about that much.
Not even keeled on the floor. The thing about the Harden thing, if you go back, I mean, and think about it, is he said what he said to Harden at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
Easy to say it after you've already had a great game against him, you know, like whatever. But he said it at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
And then he went out and did what he did. Oh, it's just, it's so much fun. Like this is a franchise that has been begging for this kind of attention forever. And it was fun being the counter culture team of the Grit Grind, and it was a lot of fun. This is like mainstream fun. This is the superstar, can't deny it. Everyone is envious of you kind of fun. I asked the question on my show, how many players would you prefer to have on your team? You couldn't say would you trade them for, because those trades wouldn't work, like whatever. Even if practically would. But how many players would you prefer to have on your team right now than Ja Morant? Going for this year and going forward. So you wouldn't say LeBron, because LeBron's an old dude, right? Who would you prefer to have on the Grizzlies than Ja Morant?
I mean, Giannis is 25, so Giannis. He's so young. He's got this whole
Giannis
career.
The only argument against Giannis is Giannis ultimately going to be happy in Milwaukee? I don't know. Like, is Giannis his next contract? People are already talking about Giannis and his next contract, right? Is he going to want out?
Are we taking into account, like, feelings and
all
stuff
of that.
Here? I thought we were just saying who you'd rather have. Like,
No. Yeah, we're counting accounts. In every element, we're counting. Who would you rather have, given their personality, given their contractual status, given everything? Yeah, I mean, that's what we're talking about. Who would you rather have? And, I mean, part of the reason I think you want Ja is he feels like a kid who could be happy in Memphis forever, right?
You hope.
And
yeah. You hope
he
so.
He feels like a kid who could be.
Yeah,
right?
I agree with that.
He's not just going to always be wired to chase the, you know, Carmelo ultimately just wanted the bright lights, right? That's why he had to get out of Denver forever, you know. Kyrie. Now, maybe Ja will turn out to be like, we just don't know. Here's the question. Would you rather have Ja or Zion?
That I was just about to ask you that. Like I'm drinking the Ja juice, too, but I'm not getting crazy drunk on it, I think, like Tracy McGrady and some folks are, by saying he's going to be the best player. But
yeah.
If knowing what you know now, would you and having seen what you've seen, would you still, if you had the one pick, would you take Zion? Would you take Ja knowing what you know now?
Well, the truth of the matter is we don't know anything. So
to that point, Zion's LeBron potential in terms of what we think it could come close to that, maybe if it's league changing, is all still in front of him if he's healthy. What do you do there,
right.
Jeff? Yeah, right. All that's still there. That potential is all still there. Right? Could change.
What I actually am really interested in is what would New Orleans like? New Orleans knows more than we know. Like New Orleans knows his medicals, right? New Orleans knows this stuff, but they can't. They're not predicting the future, but they know the present. You know, his current status, they know about the stuff about teaching him to move differently. They know. I'd be interested in knowing if they would take him again, because they're the ones who actually have the information, right?
You would take Zion.
We may look silly in saying, I guess, I don't know. I don't know the answer. I would like to look at the, I would like to know his medical.
I would not take Zion. I would not.
It's still the same questions, right? It's still something. It's like a ninth or tenth wonder of the world in terms of that body. That's still there. Will he have
the
long career? Will the
there's only two players
there
in the NBA that weigh 280 pounds or more, though.
It feels like Ja is certainly the safer pick in it, but you're not just saying safe because the kid feels like a superstar too.
No, exactly.
So
like
now,
he's
you know,
a, he's
you've
a
seen
10-time All-Star.
You've seen it translate over. See, that's what we know now.
We know two things about him. You know, yes, you're right. We know he's played and Zion hasn't. That's true.
Yep.
But we also know he's awesome.
Right.
We believe Zion's going to be awesome, and he was awesome in the preseason. Let's be clear. Like, he was awesome.
He was.
When he played.
Looked like a force in this. Yeah, exactly.
Awesome, even at a different level.
But seeing what's happened with Ja, it translating over, does it go ahead and, as for like it does for John, go ahead and put you over the top, say, hey, you know, I've got what looks like durability, hopefully, if he doesn't, you know, dunk on somebody, fall the wrong way, and I've got a guy who's going to have the ball in his hands, and hopefully a 15 to 17 year career point guard's going to set some records. I mean, that feels pretty good too, and you always got to have that head, you know, of your franchise.
I think it's pretty clear you'd want Giannis over him, and I think it's pretty clear you want Luka over him.
At Luka's age, I think you got to.
Yeah,
it's like 30, 10, and 9. He's like averaging a triple double.
Massive number. Superstar. He already is a superstar. Yeah. I mean, he just is.
But that's kind of the list. Like, that's the list.
But I think that's the list. I literally think that's the list right now.
Like, I wouldn't take Anthony Davis over Ja. Like, I wouldn't want Anthony Davis over Ja.
And Kawhi's a little banged up, and I got
we're also figuring in their personality. You know, Kawhi would be incredibly unhappy in Memphis. So we're figuring all of that in. Like, the personalities of these guys and what they want in life and everything are, to me, of course you wouldn't want Kawhi. Toronto wasn't cosmopolitan enough for him, for heaven's sakes, you know, or whatever. It wasn't enough for him. So winning a chance, you certainly want no part of Kawhi. You'd want no part of Anthony Davis, who just forced his way out of a small market. You want no part of, I think that's the list.
Don't you think it'll be hard, though, even if he's built for this and built to stay in Memphis, to keep him for the entirety of his career, just because the NBA, you know, just has a natural tendency for stars to sort of flow like a river to the big markets eventually where they want to prove it there, right? Wouldn't you bet against having him forever as much as we hate to think about the end? If you were betting man, wouldn't you bet against having him forever?
We not only have him as an MVP already.
we're making him best player in the league. We're examining his entire career here.
He's a Laker.
We're making bets on who you take and saying there's only two guys in the NBA you take over him.
We're having it prematurely, but it is going to be a huge conversation.
Well, I do believe
to the point about small markets and what guys feel and whether they'll stay. Yeah,
I believe that there is a chance he would stay for two reasons. One is, I do think he was happy at Murray State, right? I think he's a small town kid in a sense. So, but that's not the biggest reason. I think the biggest reason that he would stay, if he ultimately stays, and again, we are so far ahead of ourselves, is that if they are winning at such a high level that it just doesn't make sense to go anywhere else. Tim Duncan, of course, different kind of a dude too, right? Mm-hmm. And really, really very different kind of a dude, right? But Tim Duncan, never made sense for him to go, because why have a better – what better situation could he have had?
Exactly. They kept a winner around him. You're dead right, Jeff. They kept a winner
around
him.
That's why it's critical that they have Jaren as part of this and, Brandon as part of this, and why it's critical that they – become a force. Like, if they are one of the two or three best teams in the league, I don't think you then have to force yourself way out of Memphis. Then you just say, this is cool, you know. We're so far away, but yes, I think there is a chance, because it's just job by all by his lonesome here, because it's Ja growing up with a cluster of very good young players.
Yeah.
All right, what do you think about Memphis Cincinnati tonight? This going to be an easy one or a tough one? What's your gut tell you?
I think it's going to be a tough one.
They seem like they all are these days.
They all are, right. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are around the country. They're all tough ones, right? It appears, right?
Yeah. I mean, Kentucky loses to South Carolina last night.
Five ranked teams went down last night.
Tulane was a tough one, right? Tulane was a tough one. So if Tulane's a tough one, why? What should have been the easy ones?
Those were early, right? There haven't been many easy ones of late.
No.
The easy ones came early.
Yeah, like your Jackson
State. I mean, even like NC State was easy, and it became hard. Right?
Yes.
Like, they all did. Ole Miss. Like, they all – there haven't been any easy ones. So it's going to be a hard one. Yes, they will. It'll be a struggle, and I hope Boogie hits big shots down the stretch and everybody feels good about it.
Well, it's funny because I actually wrote about Boogie today. I
saw that, and I would mention it except for the fact that I –
Well, you can mention that I wrote it, and you can mention what I wrote in it, but you just can't mention where it is.
Be very vague.
Okay.
But basically, his high school coach explained to me
that Boogie is sort of the center of his family's universe, you know, and that this is really his first time being away from them, you know. And listen, I mean, you see this, right, with kids that aren't from Memphis and they come here from the West Coast or wherever, there can be an adjustment period. So what do you make of a kid like Boogie's struggles?
Well, I thought that was really revealing that it's so much of that. And his best game was when his family, you reported evidently, it was here to watch him play. And so, the one time he went off. I mean, the truth matters, people forget, being a freshman in college is difficult for anybody. Like, for lots of people, it's difficult. Lots of people come home.
Yep.
Like, what are they? Go off to UT Knox and they end up coming back to Memphis. Or wherever. So, and then, yes, you layer in everything else, high expectations for yourself. You're questioning whether you should be here, whether you should be at Duke, or whether you should be back home or whatever else. I think it's very difficult. I will say, I think he is better than he – I don't think this is a guy who doesn't have talent. Like, you saw him against South Florida early on, just gets to the rim easily and then misses the layup. Like, it was
a great move. Like, everybody in the crowd was like, ooh, like Elia Perry.
Right.
But he missed the layup, to your point.
So, and that's not – is he a kid – you know, he's not a kid who misses layups. I just do believe it's in his head. And so – you hope that and now whether the demotion exacerbates that, we don't know.
Right.
But it's, you know, I just have this feeling. I have not written him off for this year. Like, Isaiah Maurice, I've written off, right, pretty much. Like, he may hit a big shot, actually, coming down the stretch or something, like, at some point. I don't rule that out. But I have not at all written off Boogie. I do find myself pulling for him because he's so very clearly struggling.
Well, they need him, you know. I mean, they you know, Tyler Harris has emerged, which has been absolutely critical for them as a second scorer. But, you know, DJ has cooled off a little bit, you know. He's been battling the flu, and, you know, he's cooled off a little bit since that start. So, like, they need that third consistent guy to step up if they want to win the league. And, I mean, I feel like with Boogie's sort of resume and body of work, what he did in high school and what he's supposed to be, the profile of the player that he is, I mean, he's equipped to play that role as well as anybody. So they really need him to snap out of it.
But to that point, it's interesting you mentioned DJ. If I was to tell you one of those players was going to score 21 tonight or 18 tonight, don't you think there's a greater chance that DJ will reclaim what he was than that Boogie will?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, Boogie is listen. Boogie is in the slump of all slumps. I mean, he's the lowest rated. He has the lowest offensive rating on the team. He has the worst true shooting percentage on the team. He has the worst effective field goal percentage on the team. And honestly, like, Penny Hardaway yesterday, like, when I asked him about how Boogie took the news of, you know, being taken out of the lineup, like, Penny had no patience. You know, he was like, I ain't got time to be worried about how one guy feels about starting or not starting. It's like, Penny said, you just got to make the most of the minutes that you get, whether you start or whether you finish. So, you know, listen, Boogie's just going to have to snap himself out of it, you know? Like, Penny just does not have patience for coddling at this point.
Well, and I thought the fact that Penny didn't say, oh, no, he's not unhappy. He said, oh, no, like, I can't worry about it, right? Thereby, I think, kind of implying he is unhappy.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Sort of by implication. So anyway, yeah, I think it's going to be a tough one. And for whatever reason, I do think, like, everyone's losing games. But let's be clear, you pay a bigger penalty for losing games in the AAC. Unfortunate, but true.
Hey, is 110 to 2 ever okay in high school basketball, girls?
No, there's no excuse. Don't tell me they didn't. Don't tell me they, like, throttled it down.
Right, you can just stand there. I don't get this. I can't control. Right, I'm with you, Jeff.
No.
I don't understand,
like,
the.
You didn't have to press for a quarter. We only pressed for a quarter. Why'd you press at all?
Yeah.
You don't have to press that team. I understand it's a game or whatever. You if you really want practice, you get more run in practice against the second team, obviously, than you do against them, crushing them. You know what's going on. Come on, man. You don't have to do that. You just, throw the ball back and forth. That's all you do. Just throw the ball back and forth or whatever. Intentionally turn it over. It's like when I play with my kids when they were four. You know, whatever. She's just like, you don't want to humiliate him. Well, what do you understand? I got to do what I got to do. As a, you know, no. You come on, man. This is ridiculous.
He's more
at,
yeah.
50-2, it could have been
exactly.
Could have reined it in.
Could have stopped it there. And saying that you don't want to teach them not to play basketball. Well, how about teaching your girls not to embarrass the other squad, and it being more about what you can teach them about the other squad? Well, I mean, you know, I just didn't get it. So anyway, appreciate your thoughts, brother. Hey, come on, get a gourmet burger when you get some time from the Wing Guru.
All right.
Yep. Thanks, Jeff. He is.
See ya.
Thanks, man.
Jeff Calkins joins us every single Thursday here on the show. We'll come back. Lots more to come. We're out at the Wing Guru today. Come out and say hi, 5699 Mount Moriah. Come get you some Triple J sauce or some 901 or some Nashville hot or a gourmet burger or fried green tomato.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just get it all. Just get it all. And come watch us work. We'll be back. Jason and John, 93.9 FM, ESPN.
It's review time, Howie. One of your recent customers writes, "My wife and I were looking for new rings for our anniversary, and Robert Irwin Jewelers was consistently rated number one. So we visited the top four stores, and Robert Irwin Jewelers was definitely the best of all of them." Howie, why do you think he wrote this?
Well, I think what he realized by coming in our stores is that we are authentic. We get what the purchase signifies.
That's always been my experience.
Of course, we've got great financing, got awesome products, got great prices, but the difference is at Robert Irwin Jewelers, we care.
And that's obvious with Steven's review. He wrote, "Absolutely phenomenal experience. While having anxiety for months over the perfect engagement ring, I walked into Robert Irwin Jewelers, spouted off a list of very descriptive features, and within 15 seconds, there it was."
We get it. We understand it. We live it. And Steven is the reason why we've been around for well over 40 years.
Robert Irwin Jewelers. Bridges for life, for less.
It is that time again, and it's time for the O'Call semi-annual sale. I have been waiting for it, honestly, for a couple months now. Want to get in there for the semi-annual sale because all the fall and winter merchandise is half off. That's sweaters, that's outerwear, that's for men, that's for women. Half off right now at O'Call. As Paul Cowers told me, Christmas comes once a year, the semi-annual sale comes twice. Get yourself to O'Call. Do not put it off a moment longer.
Jason and John Guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis's sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Broadcasting live today from the Wing Guru at 5699 Mount Moriah Road on 92.9.
On. We're out here at the Wing Guru, 5699 Mount Moriah.
Come on out.
Come on out, have some wings. Jason, you getting hungry yet, buddy?
Yes.
That's a beautiful thing is that you're doing a show from the Wing Guru.
Mm-hmm. You can smell the wings from here, whole party, boneless, however you like them. You're going to get them with the best premium flavors in town.
That one was on the house. Billy, you're welcome. Listen, a huge night tonight in Memphis. Memphis taking on Cincinnati. On ESPN. There is no buzz, though.
Yeah, like, yeah. I don't feel like you think it's a big game because you haven't said what the line is yet. You say the line when it's big games.
I think it's five. I think it's a five-point line.
You realize this is big because there will be very few of these, right? Like, that point is real.
Well,
like, that's why you have to win. If you're the best team in the AAC.
This is on ESPN, you know.
Right. And you've got Jay Billis here and Dan Schulman. So you've got the, you know. Yeah, I don't any feeling that it's not. Maybe a little bit of that because Cincinnati's not ranked. You know, part of it's their side, John.
Yeah.
Cincinnati coming here under a first-year head coach in Brandon, they're kind of sort of getting acclimated to it.
Yep.
They're still solid defensively, not as elite as usual, but
that's right.
trying to figure things out offensively. They got a 7-footer in the middle, and they've got Jaron Cumberland. So if you're Memphis coming off a 4-point win over South Florida, you got to take this very seriously.
Well, you definitely do, and honestly for Memphis tonight.
it feels like it needs to be statement time, frankly.
Well, it's a statement time for Cincinnati and
the
Memphis.
It's wide open.
If Cincinnati wins tonight, they will take sole possession of first place in the AAC.
Well, that's ridiculous because they wouldn't stay there, I'm sure.
They wouldn't stay there, but that'd be true at the end of the night.
In some ways, they've gotten things turned around after an ugly start to the season.
But they already have 6 losses. You know, like they've already lost 6 times. You know, that's kind of ridiculous. And for Memphis, if they win tonight, they would jump into a four-way tie for first with Tulsa, Houston, and, of course, Wichita State.
Cincinnati doesn't have one win over a top 50 opponent. Bunch just outside, and that's why they – yeah, they've had this one circled, I'm sure, for quite a while.
Yeah, so, listen, I mean, it doesn't feel like your typical, like, Memphis-Cincinnati game, but it's still a big one. It's still important because it's on ESPN. And, again, like we know, you cannot – I mean, you can ill afford to lose games in this league.
Let me tell you something. With this big center that they've got in the middle, he's a transfer over from Northern Kentucky where Brandon was. John mentioned him yesterday. He's 7'1", 260. And you might look at him and say when you see him, and say, well, not very skilled. I'm not too worried about him. But, John, when they put him next to Trevon Scott, who's played for a while there, 6'8", 225 pounds, third leading rebound in the AAC, they've got a good front line in terms of what you'll face. And I say that for this reason. Memphis has got one good front line player in Precious Achiuwa, one elite one.
Yep.
It's looking for the other one, if
that's
you know
right.
what I mean, whether
Absolutely.
That's going to be Malco. They've tried Isaiah Maurice, obviously. This is a Cincinnati team that's got some size inside. And so as not just size, but guys that can score. This kid, the seven-footer, has scored in double figures in all but their season opener. So he'll look to score, and whoever's on him, whether it's Precious Achiuwa or Malcolm Dandridge, John, as thin as they are inside with proven guys, what you cannot afford if you are Memphis is to get into early foul trouble, and particularly Precious Achiuwa. He cannot get into foul trouble.
No doubt.
Garden, whether it's Voigt, the seven-footer, or whether it's Trevon Scott, who, again, is very active at 6'8", 225. Since he, you know, again, no, they've lost to Colgate. So you can sit here and say, man, Memphis should roll this team. But they've got some capable players. And, again, you add that front court right to Cumberland, and it's a team that can come in here and beat you. It's a team looking to prove something.
It definitely is. And there was a little bit of a fear yesterday, at least.
I heard Penny use it. Did Penny say it? Scared? Fear? I fear something. Somehow I saw something come out. Say he's a little concerned about something with Cincinnati. Their size and size.
Oh, energy, he said.
Their energy?
Yeah, energy. Sure. Yeah, energy is what he said. But there was a fear that Precious may not play, right? Like yesterday, Jeff Calkins talked about, you know, Precious dealing with foot injury. You know, Penny was asked about that yesterday, and Penny said he expects Precious to play. And somebody asked about Lester as well. Apparently there were some rumbles going around about Lester. I had not heard those. But he said he
said they're both ready to go, right?
Yeah, he said he fully expects both of them to play. Memphis cannot afford Precious Achiuwa to
they can't even afford for them to have a down game, quite frankly, with the way they're playing.
They can't afford to have him out for 5 minutes, let alone a full game.
Exactly.
I mean, they are leaning on him, you know, in a way that, you know, I don't think anybody.
It's not healthy. Let's be real.
No, it's not. I mean, it really isn't. Like, I mean, it's just not healthy to lean on a guy, on one guy like this, you know, because you're going to have to play him 35 to 38 minutes a game, and that just was not the plan. Now, of course, again, James Wiseman messed that plan up, you know, when he left the team. Like, James Wiseman, every plan, every thought, every game plan you had, I mean, it got changed, you know, and the way you played, it changed.
Tell me this. I want to know your opinion. What changed? Right, but schedule some of it. But again, first eight games, you're over 84 points. You're looking like one of the best offenses in the country, actually ranked like it in terms of up and down the floor and in terms of your scoring output. Last eight, 71 points per game. Like, what you tell me what's changed, because Wiseman was part of that eight games, right? You saw them play NC State first half against offense is clicking to a level we said, man, that looks like the best they've played offensively in a couple of years around here. And so that's what I'm trying to figure out, John, is what has changed, right, in terms of this offense that's now, you know, shot John's been less than 70 points, 5 out of the last 8 games. Like, all of a sudden, you're looking for a second and third score for a team that we said before the season, my gosh, they've got all the talent in the world. And then we said when they lost James Wiseman, well, this is a team that can survive it. It's just it's so odd, John, to be at this point where at one point the points were – we're coming like crazy.
Right.
And now you got to get Boogie going. And, man, what's happening with Damian Ball? It's almost like you're desperate for that second and third score now to where everything looked plentiful early on. You tell them what changed.
Well, I think the turnovers have played a huge factor in that, because you know against South Florida you got 22 turnovers, against Wichita State you got 18 turnovers, against Georgia you got 16.
They're up to 17.2 per game.
You are turning the ball over way too much. You're not executing. I mean, that's the problem. It's like you just don't have the ball long enough.
A couple of last games hasn't been good, but I think we both agree too, because you're playing so many guys, we think that's contributing to it too.
I think that's a big part. It's like too much shuffling. Guys aren't able to get into a rhythm
because
offensively.
When they stopped doing that down the stretch against South Florida, what happened? the offense got better.
Yep.
It started clicking. And, again, that's a game where you get things back on track when you're not turning the ball over. You were relatively efficient from an offensive standpoint. 17.2 turnovers. Was it 16.8 when you looked at it a week ago or so?
Yeah.
That is two higher than anybody else in the AAC. Okay, nobody else in the AAC, I think only nobody else in the AAC is averaging over 15.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way. And there are some bad teams in the AAC. This team is too talented to be turning the ball over at that kind of clip. You can play. You can use the – if you're a fan, you want to say, hey, we play fast, so they're going to beat it. You can use that excuse if you want to, but there's no excuse to have this many. 13 when you're playing at this pace, 14?
Yeah.
Yes, but 17, you're giving the other team too many chances.
And, again,
too many free opportunities.
Only two teams since the turn of the century have made the Final Four averaging 16 turnovers or more. One of those was 2004-2005 North Carolina, which featured your man Rashad McCants, and the other was, I believe, 2000-2001 Kansas, now, which was Kirk Heinrich.
Now, did Penny say he knows what the issue is with the turnovers yesterday? I heard a little bit of that, like he knows how to fix it but didn't want to give the particulars of it because he didn't want to tell, Cincinnati to get it.
What he told me against South Florida after the South Florida game was
– a lot of dribbling is what
Yeah, like we're over-dribbling. You know, we got to get the ball out quicker.
But yesterday he had he'd figured out the secret sauce or whatever it was but just couldn't say it. I feel like a lot of it's rotation.
Yeah.
And then Alex has had some uncharacteristically bad games of late.
Yes, he has.
They've got to get that cleaned up against 17.
Yeah.
You're just approaching a number where it's ridiculous.
You know, so tonight's going to be a big night for the University of Memphis. Last night was a crazy night in college basketball. Last night was just an absolutely ridiculous night in college basketball because it felt like half the teams in the top 25 lost. It felt like everybody, everybody that was playing last night, that was in the top 25, they lost. Kentucky lost to South Carolina.
Auburn lost.
Auburn is no longer undefeated. I mean, it's
just San Diego State now, right?
Just San Diego State. They're the last team remaining, Jason. I guess that's a good thing if you're Memphis because you'll just move up in the rankings by accident, right? Like just by not losing, you'll move up in the rankings because everybody else is coming down around you. Temple, like you mentioned earlier, handled Wichita State, which, by the way, if you're a Memphis fan, that is what you need to happen. You don't need Wichita State to just win every single game to make your resume or your loss look a little less bad. You need Wichita State to lose games so you have a chance to win this damn league. I mean, that's just the facts. I mean,
I understand that argument. I could go the other way too, though, because again, John, you got them one more time, and
there's a fine line, right? Like you don't want them to come apart, but they're not gonna come apart. You know, they're like Greg Marshall's a really good coach.
No, when it comes down to it, you're right in the sense that you want to win this league, right?
Yeah, I mean, and Wichita State feels like the biggest threat, but Tulsa is not the biggest threat.
Even with the atmosphere we saw up there in Wichita in that game. You still felt like, and Memphis must feel like that was that's a team that we're better than.
Yeah.
If you're Memphis, because again, as poorly as you played in that one, you still outshot them. You held that team at 33%, and then you watch them go up there and lose to Temple. John, they almost lost to UConn, if I'm not mistaken, in double overtime. So that's why that Wichita State loss. Coupled, I mean, I put Georgia right there with it. Those games, those teams offensively, you did your thing defensively well enough to win, and that's what's so frustrating that you can get to pick those up. Look. For this league, if it's going to have any hope of getting more than two or three, I guess for the entirety of the league, you want Wichita to keep winning, Wichita State to keep winning. That if I'm Greg Marshall, I'm entirely disappointed by a double-digit loss at Temple.
Yep.
What was that, a 6-7 loss Temple team already?
But what that shows you, coached by our man Aaron McKee, right? Yeah.
Yes. His first full-time.
Yeah, first year on the job. So shout out to a former NBA player getting the job done up at Temple. What that shows you is this is just this league.
It's ripe for the taking.
Bro,
that's what I'm saying. Tonight needs to be statement.
But it's going to be a wild-ass ride. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got Tulsa sitting there at 3-1. You know, Houston loses at Tulsa. You know, like, I mean, it's going to be a wild ride. Buckle up, Jason.
Even with Wiseman gone, don't you feel like Memphis is talented enough that
what
you've seen from these
Absolutely.
Other teams,
no
Wichita
doubt about
State
it.
Was just ranked 16th right
yes.
now, just goes and gets rolled at Temple.
Yes.
Don't you feel like this is Memphis's, like, it's still – you know, you haven't moved the goalpost on the fact that this is still the most talented team in the AAC.
Yes. Oh, no,
yeah,
for sure.
It feels like at some point that the last eight games, you know, to only be averaging 70 points is sort of ridiculous. Like, you need to snap out of it at this point. You're too talented not to. We can't sort of change this and all of a sudden say, oh, it's you know, it's so wide open. Anybody could win the AAC. And, no, I mean, even without James Wiseman, this is still the most talented team clearly in the conference. And it's time to start playing like it, quite frankly.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. No, I definitely do believe Memphis has a chance to win this league. Now, ask me again after tonight, right? Like, if they lose tonight to Cincinnati, their chances will take a hit, you know, because you got to be able to take care of – see, if you're going to win this league, you got to be able to take care of teams like Cincinnati at the house.
Especially at the
house.
You know,
I mean, that's just the bottom line. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, again, the key to me is Penny just playing that lineup that everybody acknowledges is the best lineup.
Because if you do more – I'll put it this way, whatever lineup Penny feels like, but if you do more of that and sticking with it, John – right, you'll become more efficient offensively. We saw it down the stretch against South Florida. There's no reason with this kind of talent on this team for this team to be ranked 107 in offensive efficiency at KenPom.
Yeah,
you're too talented for that.
Yep.
And so you've got to find a way to cut down on those 17 turnovers. Stop giving away these free possessions. When you don't do that, we've seen you run pick and roll. You run, Precious is cutting to the basket. You're getting easy looks. So you've got to clean up those turnovers and get back to the efficient offensive team that the potential is there to be. We've seen it for halves. We've seen it for some games early on in the season. They've got to find a way to get back to that. These offensive struggles to this point need to get put to bed.
Yeah. So anyway, tonight, 6 o'clock on ESPN, Jason will be there in the crowd. You'll be able to see him. I mean, this is a prime time game. So what are you thinking in terms of the wardrobe? You got anything in mind?
Oh, you're funny.
Oh, I mean,
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.